which is John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We'll read one verse and then we'll be able to bring another in this context. The main verse I want to impress on you is verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. No doubt about it. The thrill of being free. There is quite a thrill. There are many people in the world today who give all that they possess just to be free politically and in other areas. You have in verse 36, some of Christ's free men. The Son therefore shall make you free, and only the Son can, ye shall be free indeed. What's the opposite to freedom? Bondage, slavery, servitude. And these boastful Jews that are in on this argument, opposing the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, we're not in bondage to any man. My Abraham is our father, and we're not in bondage to any man. They were in bondage right then. They had been in bondage to the Egyptians, they had been in bondage to the Babylonians, now they're in bondage to the Roman rule, the power of Rome. So they were in bondage, but they were in a greater bondage than that. They were in bondage to sin. The Lord makes that very plain. They were in bondage to sin. He mentions that in one of these verses about being in bondage to sin. And that's the greatest bondage to be in. The bondage of sin. Plenty of people are in this country, the land of the free, and they have many freedoms and many liberties, but there's one thing they're slave to, in bondage to, and that is that ugly bird sin. And the pride of these Pharisees, heart was simply this, they wouldn't admit it. They wouldn't admit they were slaves to sin, which they were. Think of some of the sins that men and women are enslaved to. Sins that have got a hold upon them, and they can't break from those sins. Think of the drunkard. Think of the alcoholics all over this country. They did everything they got that they could break the shackles of alcohol. They can't seem to do. Then you think also of the gambler, the dope addict, freshly captured. They just can't seem to break from these things. Also these cults. Think of what happened in Guyana. How those people were enslaved in servitude to whatever that man taught. They were slaves, were in bondage, in the end of their bondage to death. Some people are in bondage to tradition. They follow the tradition of their father. The Jews, right here, they were in bondage to the tradition of their father. Enslaved by that tradition. They were held, they were gripped, controlled by that tradition. And so there are a lot of things a man and woman can be enslaved to, in bondage. Not only the picture seems to get darker, not only were they in bondage to Rome and in bondage to sin, they were the outright enemies of Jesus Christ. And that's very evident if you read some of the verses that got in 42 and 45, the outright enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord say concerning these? Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. But I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he said to me, why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my words? Now listen to these Christian words. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. In other words, these people were not only slaves of sin, they were the outright enemies of Jesus Christ. And Christ in this text, he calls them lustful men, liars, and murderers. They were the enemies of Jesus Christ. That's a very solemn pronunciation. You have three fathers in verse 37 and 38. Three fathers. He says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no part in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father. He's talking about his father. And ye do that which ye have seen with your father. And who was that? Not Abraham. For if Abraham had been their father, they would have known the God of Abraham, and they didn't. He's speaking of three fathers. Abraham was their father. So he says. Christ says, I have my Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan as a father. He's not all. They were the children of Satan. Satan was their father. This is a strange language. It's solemn and searching language. There are people today, religious, refined, educated, wise, living righteous life, kind, benevolent. And then the whole thing is this. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it simply means just the devil's your father. There are only two families in the world, the family of God and the family of Satan. Christ says, he that's not with me is against me. That's solemn meaning. The saint, the Christian, the condition, and let me tell you this, any preacher who stands in the pulpit has got his education out of the seminary. If he hasn't been born again in his life, quickened by the Spirit, he belongs to the devil. Well, that's what the Lord Jesus is telling us right in this passage, and it's pretty solemn, it's pretty Christian. They, as they claim, were the father, Abraham was their father, they would do the works of Abraham. And Abraham believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, concerning after him, there was coming a prophet, he says, like unto me. And Abraham spoke of the coming of Christ. And these Jews said, Abraham's our father. Well, why don't you do what Abraham did? Believe in the coming one. I'm here. And establishment to be true. So held by the tradition of their fathers, going back and touring in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and yet when Christ, the one of whom prophets spake, stood in their midst, they hated him. They tried to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. But isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus can deliver from all these bondages? These men and women are enslaved too. He can deliver from sin. He can deliver the drunkard. He can set free the gambler. He can also deliver the dope addict. He can deliver those who are caught up with their passions, their fleshly passions. He can deliver from cultism. And he can deliver from the tradition of your father, even the Apostle Paul. What man had a more noble tradition than the Apostle Paul? He gives you a whole list of what it was. I think it's over in Colossians. He tells us about his background. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. A very religious man. He knew the scripture. He was willing to die for the tradition of his father. And yet the Apostle Paul had to be shown that he was not a Christian. He didn't know Jesus Christ. He hadn't been yet delivered from the tradition of his father. The Lord Jesus can deliver from your tradition. He'll deliver from all these things, and he can make you free. And whoever the Son makes free, he shall be free indeed. And over in Galatians 5:1, I think it is, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's the law. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But freedom must be qualified. Doesn't mean freedom from work. Some people would like that. Freedom from work. I don't have to go to work. I can lay in bed as long as I like. I don't have to strike a list. I mean, some people take care of me, and they also can't take care of a lot of people. This doesn't mean you're free from work. It doesn't mean you're free from going to school. A lot of kids would like that. That's not the freedom. Not freedom from care. A lot of people would like to be free from any care, any responsibility. I haven't met any yet who want to be free from eating or free from fun. You've got to qualify this. What are you talking about when you talk about freedom? Deliverance. Freedom does not mean freedom from bodily suffering. Christian suffering. And it tells you that plainly over in Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 11. So when you become a Christian, one of God's free ones, and Christ's free ones, doesn't mean to say that you become free from suffering. For in the human body there is the law, the principle of death. In you and in me, from the moment you were born, there was that principle. That sin that brings forth fruit unto death. Our outward man is dying by the day. And you're going to have suffering, and you're going to have pain of body until you die. Unless you're a very fortunate individual. Some of the happiest Christians I've ever met, and some of the most godly Christians I've ever met, have suffered all their life. So becoming a Christian, one of Christ's free men, doesn't mean to say you're free from suffering. We suffer for Christ's sake. Look at the Apostle Paul. Was he not a God's free man? He was free from the law. He was free from the tradition of his fathers. He was a free man when he found Christ, but he suffered persecution. So to be a free person, free in Christ doesn't mean you won't have bodily suffering, nor does it mean you'll be free from chastisement. That's the mark of sonship, according to Hebrews. God deals with you as your son. And what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? God chastises his sons, and yet they're free. Free from going to hell, they're free in Christ. But still, the Lord will discipline them. What does it mean? And I say this, to be saved and be free doesn't mean to say you're going to be free from temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus was tempted by the devil, and certainly had no sin. Three times over, the devil tempted him. And three times over, the Lord came back to sit his name. That's how Christ got the victory over the devil. He quoted the Bible. That's one thing that the devil doesn't like, the Word of God. And so you're not going to be free from temptation when you become a Christian. And you're not going to be free from the presence of sin. As long as you live in this world, there's going to be sin around you. You're not going to be free from the very presence of sin. So this freedom must be qualified. And I trust we have qualified. But this freedom he's talking about, whosoever the Son shall make free, he shall be free indeed. Free from what? Freedom from the law. Christ has delivered us from the curse of the law. Isn't that wonderful? Christ has delivered us from the curse. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. And Paul speaks of the Ten Commandments as a yoke that neither we nor our fathers could bear. that awful use of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. People today are trying to get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments and never do it. They're under the bondage and yoke of the Ten Commandments. But when you get saved, you're delivered from that yoke and that bondage. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Everyone that believes. Yes, there's freedom from the curse of the law. Then there's freedom from guilt. Can I be free from guilt? Yes. As over Romans 8 and 1, we're free from guilt. There is therefore no condemnation, no guilt to them who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't it nice to be free from guilt? And that's the freedom of the Son. No condemnation. Think of that woman we speak about in the early part of the chapter. Neither do I condemn you. Go in peace. What freedom was there? What a load lifted off her conscience. No condemnation. That's true of every born again person. No condemnation. Freedom from the dominion of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you as a Christian. I'm talking to Christians in Romans 6. You don't have to be under the dominion of sin. Sin ruling over you. If Christ rules over you, that'll deliver you from the bondage of servitude of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over a Christian. And if we read God's word and abide in Christ and know something of fellowship with the Lord, sin will not be your master. But you can be the master of sin. If you know something of Christ abiding in your heart, sin can control the Lord Jesus Christ. And sin does not necessarily need to control you. If you know something of fellowship with the Lord Jesus, you'll have victory over, dominion over sin. Instead of sin telling you what you can do, you can tell sin what it can do. You're not going to be a part of my life. Means also freedom from the power of darkness. Think of this lovely verse over in Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Isn't that a wonderful deliverance? Freedom from the power of darkness. Then freedom from the fear of man. You want to read that? It's over in Acts chapter 4. Here are the disciples. Why they were being persecuted. And these leaders, they were trying their best to stop these men from preaching the gospel. And when they brought them before the judgment seat, they said, now you men, we're going to be leading with you on this occasion, but don't you speak any more in this man's name. You don't want any more of this Christ stuff. And Peter speaks up, he says, whether it's right for us to believe you, obey you, or God, he does. We're not going to obey you. We'll obey God. And as for you men, with all your robes and authority sitting there in that tribunal, we're not going to fear you one bit. And the more a man or a Christian fears God, the less he's going to fear man. There you have freedom from the fear of man. The fear of man brings a snare. The reason some people are not saved, they're afraid of man. What will my buddies say? What will the folks say where I work? I'm just afraid of the persecution, the price I may have to pay. The fear of man brings a snare. My Bible says, and it says it many times, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And if you know something of being God's free man, or God's free woman, you don't have to fear man. God's on your side. So why should you fear man? And this freedom is freedom from the sting of death. You read that in 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Not only freedom from the sting of death, but freedom from the power of the grave. When Jesus Christ comes, and he's coming soon, those who are alive and remain, he's going to catch up. They'll not die. They'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And as those who are alive when Christ comes are caught up, they can look back and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? You didn't sting me. You stung a lot of people, but you didn't sting me. And then those who are in the grave, when Christ comes, they'll be raised. They'll come out of their grave. And they can look back to the empty grave and say, oh, grave, where is thy victory? And so Christ gives the victory over the sting of death and the power of the grave. He also gives the victory over coming judgment. He delivers from the wrath that is to come. My, how wonderful to be one of God's free men, whom the Son hath made free, he shall be free indeed. What are some of the responsibilities of being a free person? Free in Christ. Oh, God forgets that ours is the freedom of sons. When you become a child of God, you're a son of God. He says that it in 1 John 3:1. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so we enjoy the freedom of sons. And the Lord Jesus said, as a true son, I honor my Father. He said to these Jews, you don't honor me. I honor my Father. And every true child of God should honor his heavenly Father. That's what God wants you to do. Honor your heavenly Father. Now, you have a choice. You can choose not to honor him if you wish. That he'll pay an awful price. And some Christians are dishonoring their heavenly Father. They're not doing his will the way they should. The Lord Jesus said about his Father, I do always those things that please. And that should be the desire of every Christian toward his heavenly Father, I do always those things that please. Sad thing when a Christian preborn in Christ can dishonor God, his Father. Freedom of son, freedom of servant. Yes, wonderful. To enjoy the freedom of a servant, and that word is the freedom of a slave. I'm free now to serve the Lord. I've left the slavery of sin. And it's yes. Now I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I've got a new master. Sin is not my master. Satan is not my master. Christ is my master. Isn't that wonderful? A remarkable verse over in Romans 6:17. He says, but God, he thanks, that ye were the servants of sin once. Ye were the slaves of sin once. But you have obeyed from the heart that mold of doctrine, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. So now, having been made free from sin, free from being a slave to sin, we are slaves to God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Why, that's a wonderful change, isn't it? From being a slave to sin, serving sin, in bondage to sin, to being a slave to Jesus Christ. And that's exactly true. The Apostle Paul rejoiced that he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. A slave to Christ. He's my master, and he's not a hard master. The Lord Jesus is a wonderful master. He's been my master for 53 years. And about any other master, I've been quite long ago. He's the most gracious of masters, the kindest of masters, the most considerate of masters, and he's never ducked my pay. He's never lowered my pay. He knows the price of living today, cost of living goes up, and so does my income. Yeah. I'm not worried about inflation. What a master it is to have the law. And all through my life, when my expenses went up, my income went up. When my expenses went down, my income went down. Somebody up there to keep the book. What a master to have. So kind, so loving and pity. I don't know how he puts up with me. But I may not be faithful sometime, but he's faithful. This is what it means to be a slave of Jesus Christ. Freedom of son, freedom of service. Then the freedom of worship. Free to come into his presence as you have over in Hebrews chapter 10. Let us draw near with boldness. Back in the Old Testament, only one man once a year could go into the Holy of Holies. Now every born again Christian have the freedom, the liberty, the privilege, the glorious opportunity to come into the presence of God at any time under all circumstances, concerning all things, the freedom to live. Not compulsory, but voluntary. And so Sunday morning we come here, and I'm living. We engage in cultural worship as a group gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To worship him, what freedom. You're enjoying the freedom of sons, and you come into the Father's presence, voluntarily, the freedom to worship. With boldness we enter into the holiest through the blood of Jesus, and we're able to take the bread and wine in memory of him. How does he make men and women free? By your coming to him, and by your resting in him, and by your working for him after you see. There are three things I want to mention in closing: the great light, the great lesson, and the great Lord. Yes, the great light. We spoke on that last week, the great light, in verse 12 of this chapter. Then the great lesson. There are four great lessons you learn from this chapter, and the first ones are solemn. What is that first solemn lesson he teaches us? He tells us this, that they that die without him die in their sins, and there he is, they cannot come. That's a lesson that every person in this world needs to learn. But if you die in your sins, where Christ is, you cannot come. Simply meaning this, Christ is in heaven now and is going to stay there, and if ever you're going to be with him and be with him in glory and like him forever, you've got to know him. He's got to set you free. If not, you're going to die in your sins. And he says, where I am, he cannot come. That's a solemn lesson. There are many verses along this line. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And a more solemn verse saying, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:15. Here's the first solemn, searching lesson of this chapter. The Lord has told these scribes and Pharisees the fact. And he touched his finger at them, and with eyes of steel he said, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot die. And that's the lesson to learn. The road will not stay. But then there's another lesson here. The Son will make you free, and that's the lesson the Lord wants you to learn. The Son will make you free. The third lesson you have here, we are not saved by our righteous ancestors. These Jews thought they were Abraham as our father. You don't have to worry about it. The Lord says, Abraham is not your father, Terah is your father. That's a lot of sentiment. You don't know the God of Abraham. But I am the Son of the God of Abraham. Then you take me and you try to kill me. And godly ancestry will not take you to heaven as he thought it would. Your grandfather might have been a preacher. Your father might have been a deacon. Your mother might have been the most spiritual woman in the world. But that's not going to take you to heaven. You've got to know that grandfather's God and that father's God and that mother's God if they're in heaven. You've got to know Christ yourself. Your ancestors will not take you to heaven. Another thing, all people are not Christians. He makes that plain in his gospel. All people are not Christians. Wouldn't it be something? You talk about your godly mothers and grandparents and so on. And if you got to heaven, you found Stalin there and Hitler and a bunch of butchers. No. The Lord Jesus makes it plain. He says, I don't pray for the world. I pray for those whom you've given me out of the world. And he says in John 17, these people who are born are not the world, but I have taken them out of the world. There are two classes, two families in this world, those on the broad way going to hell and those on the narrow way going to light heaven. Those were the children of God, those were the children of the devil. Just two classes. And those two families divide this congregation this morning, or even the one or the other. And that's what he's telling us. That's the fourth lesson. The people are not, all people are not the children of God. The Lord put his finger right upon the most trusting verse, I think, here. I think it's verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. That's it. Were they loving him? By no means. Therefore, it is God's not your Father. I want to tell you this. The acid test of whether you're saved or not, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? If God were your Father, you would love the Lord Jesus. That's what he's talking about. If all the children of God, if all people are going to heaven, then the work of Christ is coming into this world and going to the cross to the Father, an absolute state, as everybody says. Al Capone and Billy Graham are the same people. No. There are two distinct families. And that's why the Lord Jesus came into this world and went to that old rugged cross that he may save out of that great crowd of the devil's children. He might save out of that family. The devil's family come to become the children of God. Save. That's why he came. And without the death of Christ, there's no salvation. It's an absolute impossibility for you to go to heaven without the question of Christ. He says, well, come, he makes you free. And he does, he shall be free indeed. To love Christ is the infallible truth that you are a child of God. Then it's the truth of the great Lord, my big gift. A great life, a great lesson, and a great life. Greater than Abraham, he says in this chapter. Greater than Abraham. And over in chapter 4 of John, art thou greater than our father Jacob? As David said, well, the woman said, yes, Christ is greater than Jacob. So he's greater than the patriarch. A greater than Solomon is here. You read in Matthew Christ. Greater than the king. A greater than Jonah is here. Greater than the prophet. Greater than John the Baptist. All this is in the New Testament. Christ is greater than John the Baptist. He says, I'm greater than the temple in Matthew 12. Greater than all the Jews. And furthermore, all that distinction. And I'm greater than the angels. According to Hebrews chapter 1. And furthermore, he's greater than Aaron. All the priests. He's the greatest of them all. If a man been parading around the country, he loves to say, I am the greatest. But he that knocks out one of these days to find out he's not great. There's just one person who is the greatest of the universe of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the greatest. And I ask you, do you know this great one? If you don't, you're a pauper. If you know Christ, you're rich. If you don't know Christ, you're poor. This is the great Lord that we preach. Christ from sin to sin. Do you know him? He says, if you die in your sin, where I am, you can come. Do you want to be with this greatest of all? Then you're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to open your heart and let him in. And you're going to have to let him in too. I would to God you let him in today. The sooner you let him in, the sooner you'll be happy and have peace and assumption and enjoy the wonderful freedom of these gifts we have been given. Are you free or are you in bondage? You answer that. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commit to thy presence. We ask thy blessing on thy word. We thank thee for the liberty those of us who are saved have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those who know not yet in bondage. May they know something of having that yoke broken and coming to know Christ, whom to know is lucky for you. We ask you to be worthy and precious name. Amen. Shall we sing 376? And how appropriate this hymn is to what we've been talking about. Out of my bondage, God of the night, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Are you going to stay in that bondage, or are you going to get into the freedom and knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior? And stand 376. If you trusted Christ sometime and you haven't told us, this is your opportunity. Maybe you trusted him this morning. Come and tell us. And if you haven't, want to, I'll be glad to go with you in this room and show you how you may be saved and more. Shall we sing 376? Analysis is pride of keeping a fellow youth from coming to Christ. Come to the humble one, the Lord Jesus, who is his son, lowly of heart. Will you come and receive him this morning, this week?
Jesus, I come.